Welcome to Heathen in the Hedge. This is a podcast about marriage, magic, and beyond. I'm Shay.
My name is Merlin.
And this is going to be another mundane Monday that we are going to put towards Black History Month, since it is February. And today we're going to talk about race.
Yeah. It's been a pretty big topic in our marriage, you know, because we're a interracial couple. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, yeah, that's at the forefront of our marriage. It's at the forefront of most of the conversations whenever people meet us or people find out that hillbilly me has a black wife. So that's what we're talking about today.
We have a really good lineup of questions today that we want to touch on that is going to dive a little bit into just what life was like for us as two completely different people, you know, as a black female and as a cis white male or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, what was life like? So we're going to kind of share a little bit about our experiences. Getting really personal today. So I think that that's going to be a really fun thing to touch on. So what question do we want to start with?
Well, let's just start at the top. And I guess, what was your upbringing like?
Well, I'll let you go first.
If we're talking about like race, diversity, there was none whatsoever.
So what was your life like when it comes to like diversity? How did you, you know, see... Like, what was everyday life like for you as far as, like, how that goes and, you know, any experiences, good or bad, that you had in your upbringing?
I'll start with the short one-word answer of my childhood or my upbringing.
Yeah.
White.
Yeah.
Extremely. I mean, my mom always, instilled in us that, like, no race was better or worse than the other, that everybody should be treated equal. So I always had that on the forefront of my mind. But as far as having my own individual experiences, like 99% of my childhood was around white people, like molded by white people, like very white.
And when did you start seeing people like at all, like of color?
Well, I think my first experience, like, I'll just start with like my first experience seeing an interracial relationship. There was two of them. There was a couple that went to church with us at the Jehovah's Witness church that I went to when I was a kid. Mm-hmm. And it was a black man. I don't remember their names. It's been so long ago, but it was a black man and a white lady, and they had kids. And a super nice, like, just super nice, loving couple. Like, I mean, they were just good people. But I remember the older people in our congregation, like, always saying things that even as a child, I'm like, that's a really shitty thing to say. Like, oh, you know, like, interracial relationships never work. Like, they need to stick with their own kind. Like, that kind of bullshit.
Yeah.
And I remember even as, like, a 5-6-year-old, like, thinking in my head, you know, that like that's really messed up. Like, why the hell does that matter?
Yeah.
And let's see, my fourth grade teacher. No, I mean, I'm just saying from my point of view as a child. And my fourth grade teacher when I went to school in Columbus, Kansas, her husband was black and she had a biracial kid. And that was, I mean, super nice people. Like, I never thought it was anything. Like, in my mind, I didn't think it was anything. But, like, some of the more ignorantly raised classmates of mine would say things every now and then, and I'm like, that's a really shitty thing for you to say. Like,
yeah.
Why would you think that? Like,
well, why do you think that they thought that? Like, I mean, you're clearly, like, that was a big part of your upbringing.
Their parents.
The thing that you grew up hearing, like, as this, like, the norm.
I mean, like, racial joke, like race jokes, like black jokes and stuff like that. I remember that being like a pretty common thing. Like, as I got older, I started seeing like, this is like, that's not even a fucking joke. Like, But yeah, like it's mostly stuff that I didn't really notice until I got older and started thinking for myself. Like, mm-hmm. you don't realize how ignorant of a situation you're being raised in until you have your own life experiences and start thinking for yourself. And because I remember like black jokes and like just, you know, stereotypical humor, like humor on stereotypes being like completely acceptable. Like parents talking about it, like everybody. And then like I got older and I'm like, well, that is not fucking cool. Like that's it's weird. It's weird. The stuff you get used to being raised in that sort of situation that you like, you don't even think about it until you're exposed to another situation. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So for me, it was very, I mean, I did have some parts of it that were a little bit more integrated. Like I did have, you know, some white classmates, but for the most part, yeah, it was definitely a lot more, mm-hmm. Like black, definitely. Mm-hmm. We grew up in a fairly predominantly black neighborhood, and I would consider like what most people would consider, I guess, the ghetto.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't really think, I mean, I guess it was the ghetto, but you know, it was just, it was the way of life. Like when you're growing up, like I was raised with a single parent, and my mom did, you know, a lot of one or two jobs here and there to support us. So
mm-hmm.
we did the best we could. And it was a lot of, I would say when I was growing up, I did notice that there was a lot of racial tension sometimes, mm-hmm. but between me and other black people, that's what's so weird is like, I grew up feeling so much more like uncomfortable and just like, disliked by people of my own race. And I didn't really understand that. I think that in the black culture, a lot of what we are told to believe is that if you're not like everyone else, then you're weird and everyone should just like shun you.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of one of those things. Like, I feel like for some reason, like there's this thing to like fear being different or that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But either way, my experiences was a lot of bullying and discomfort and confusion. Truly.
No, I thought of something that I forgot about for mine. I wasn't like completely void of black people in my childhood because you talking about Tulsa, my grandma lived in Tulsa or lived in Turley, like in like north of Tulsa, which is a like predominantly black culture for the most part. Mm-hmm. So I did spend a lot of time. And my grandma did go to like an all black Jehovah's Witness Kingdom Hall.
Mm-hmm.
That just, you triggered a thought in my mind. You were talking about Tulsa, or like your upbringing. It made me think you were raised in Tulsa. But so your negative racial experience was with, you say, other black people.
Yeah.
More. What do you think your experience like, or what was your view of white people when you were a kid? Like, cause I've heard a lot of different answers on that one.
Yeah, honestly, I actually, I didn't have much of a view. I honestly always just thought they were very nice.
Yeah.
Because I had white teachers and a lot of like mentors growing up, I think, in my life were white. So I had this idea that they were a lot nicer in my head. Not nicer than black people, but just nicer in general, like, when I had an encounter with a white person, I never felt that shun or that pressure or like that judgment, if that makes any sense. But I mean, don't get me wrong. I've had many experiences where a white person has said something extremely inappropriate or has made me feel completely unwanted. Mm-hmm. But we, you know, in childhood, I didn't have too many experiences like that. I mean, if anything, a lot of the experiences I had with people of a different race were always a lot more pleasurable. I feel like I got a lot more scarring from my own race, which is kind of,
which interesting. Really, that's very interesting.
Yeah. It's really sad to me because I feel like a lot of that translates into my adult life. Like now I do have a lot more connections with people of color and Black people, you know, but a lot of my friends are still white. And I do think a lot of people look at that and kind of say like, well, you know, why are you not friends with more people of your own race? But I think that when it comes down to it, it comes down to interest. Mm-hmm. It comes down to what we vibe on. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the things I like are things that more predominantly people that are not Black would like.
They're stereotypically associated with non-Black people,
yeah. You'd say. Yeah. And, but that's just not, you know, I've met plenty of Black people that like the same things I like, though. It's just not a lot and not in a very big, you know, number. So, you know, like I 3 months ago, I went to like a rock concert or whatever. Most of my Black friends would not be into a rock concert. But that doesn't mean that I don't have things in common with my Black friends because I do.
Yeah.
And so that's what I mean by you have many friends of different backgrounds because you have different types of yourself that would then, you know, be of interest for those different groups. And so I don't think it has anything to do with race, but it's all about interest. And if you're not into the same thing as your peers, majority, then that's usually just how it is. And I felt like that was a lot of what it was when I was growing up was mm-hmm. everyone majority was into the same thing.
Yeah.
And I was not. Like all the other kids were into things that I wasn't. Like they would talk about music that I never really listened to. And they would talk about movies that they watched. And I did watch a lot of predominantly Black movies growing up. Don't get me wrong. But a lot of things I just didn't connect on. And then I think that that's where a lot of that fell. I just think that I always was kind of the outsider, and that made my experience very volatile in that environment.
Yeah. And I could see like, and honestly, like if you think about it, like across, I mean, I'm just gonna, cause the only experience I have is Caucasian experience,
right?
But like, even like me, like even me, like most of the scarring comes from my own people.
Right.
Like I had to like relearn a lot of shit that I was taught, like, or unlearn a lot of shit that I was taught about just the world in general. Not even just like Black people or race or anything, but like, mm-hmm. When you're raised in like any sort of like closed off culture or society, there is going to be a lot of ignorance about things that are outside of that culture. And I experienced that as a white person. Like, mm-hmm. so I guess it's not.
Right. It's something that we're crazy. Needing to work on. It's something we need to work on. We need to get to the point where your interests are not connected to your race.
Yeah. And we're all individuals. Like we can take pride and like love our heritage, but like at the end of the day, we are individuals. Mm-hmm. We're going to like something.
Our that's everybody that does to many people,
everybody that we meet, no matter what they are, is going to either hate some of the things that we like or love some of the things that we like.
But for some reason, I do believe that in a lot of our communities and Black communities, it is a lot about feeling the bond and connectedness to everyone else and feeling that sense of familiarity with liking the same things and doing the same things. So I totally understand.
Totally.
Yeah. And I wish that could have been my experience. You know, I wanted to have more of my childhood friends, you know, carry over into my adult life, but that just did not happen. So
don't shit me either.
That's okay. You know, we're not all meant to be friends for life.
Would you say you grew up in a diverse environment?
I would say that it was kind of like 50-50. Like mm-hmm. I had some experiences where I felt definitely more surrounded by people of my own race versus outsiders.
Yeah.
And then I felt like when I went to church a lot, like a lot of religious gatherings were more people of other races. So mm-hmm. like white people and that kind of thing. I think I got more exposure to outside races when I went to different churches. Because I never went to churches that yeah. had a lot of black people. Like I never went yeah. to like churches that had like large congregations. But I did sometimes when I was younger. It just depends. Mm-hmm. It just depends on, you know, what time frame that was in my life. But I went to many. And mm-hmm. that was where I got most of my exposure. So it was kind of, you know, I felt kind of like I got to my middle ages and definitely got a lot more exposure with white people than I did versus my younger years. But I feel like it's even.
Okay.
How about you?
I would say no, I didn't grow up in a diverse environment, but right. I think I did have enough glimpses of diversity on and off through my life, like my grandmother going to an all-black church and living in a predominantly black town. Mm-hmm. I think it gave me like it put a little bit of something in me to be like open to other races, because I never fell into, even like later in high school, the high school that I went to was in an extremely racist town. Like yeah. I mean, there was an active like sect of the KKK there. Like it was very
that kind of trash
very like unaccepting area.
Yeah,
but I had enough glimpses of diversity and enough of it, right. I think, to always like have my own thoughts. Like I mm-hmm. never fell into any of that. Like I don't know, I my entire life I've always looked at racism as like weakness, like an ignorance. Like it's
but for your overall experience, but for my, just wasn't much
no my overall like yeah. my everyday life of my upbringing, no, it was not diverse at all. It was
okay.
It was white on white.
Gotcha.
It was mayonnaise on white bread. Like, and turkey. Would you say you had any like big or like major influences in your childhood? Like people?
Yeah. Like I had a lot of cool teachers when I was younger that really stood out to me. Like my pre-K teacher, her name was Mrs. Wheeler. It might be different. I think it is Mrs. Wheeler, but she was really great. She was one of my first teachers that I really liked, and she was always very kind. And then when I was like 11, I got put into like a Big Brother Big Sister program, and so Jenny mm-hmm. is somebody that I still talk to this day.
Mm-hmm.
Very lovely white woman who's very Christian and loves me all the same. You know, I think there were times in our in my upbringing where we did not see eye to eye, because I did start out a very Christian little girl, and then mm-hmm. kind of, you know, had my times of trial and error. So she was, you know, very much a part of that process, and did have some times where she just wasn't sure what to do with me. But other than that, I feel like I had a lot of times that were many opportunities that helped me to connect with other people.
Yeah.
And even in high school, I had an experience where I went to like this this camp called like Camp Anytown, and there was like a ton of other types of kids. And I think I was like in the ninth grade or the 10th grade or something like that. So that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I think like in my upbringing in general, yeah, I had a couple of influences, and even some of that were black. Like I had, you know, my godmom who partially raised me, and I spent so much time with her.
She's a great lady.
Yeah, she's been such a big part of my life. And then you know, I've had a lot of like my Spanish teacher, Mrs. Bent, who I love to death. So like she's a big influence in my life as well. So I have people that are black and white who have made huge influences on me. And, you know, I feel grateful for that
mm-hmm.
for sure, because I feel like a pretty well-rounded person.
And something I can say about all the people that you picked, because I've met most of them,
yeah,
is they're all very like warm, loving people, like every single one of them.
Yeah, definitely.
But also pretty fucking powerful.
Yeah, they were. They've all been really key parts in like in the kind of person that I am.
Totally.
And I think that that speaks volumes, you know, to saying that it doesn't make any sense the kind of mindset that we can be in when it comes to the hate. But I have always been very open to the love.
Me too.
So what about you? Like, who are some people that you, that you just remember sticking out to you as like
influencing people or just, markers in my life?
Yeah. Just, you know, some people that you think back on and you say like, man, that was the, you know, the first time that you ever really became friends with anyone or the first time that you ever just had really nice experiences with somebody, or just anyone who they could be black or white who have made good influences on you.
One of my best friends from like fourth, fifth and sixth grade, like that area was from India. Like his parents were from India. They had like, when I had met him, they had literally just moved from India. And I just remember that being like a really like refreshing glimpse of another culture.
Cause
he was like super like generous and kind and just like a really good kid. And he would like bring, cause I was always interested. I was like one of the only classmates that were like actively interested in his culture. Like he would bring, cause his family, they were Buddhist, so they didn't eat any meat. So he would bring these like weird, like veggie jerkies and like vegetable pizzas and like all these like different foods. And I was always, I mean, I've always been a fat kid at heart. So like, I always was like, that looks interesting. And he would bring me extra food every day just so I could try his mom's like vegetarian Indian cooking. And yeah, like that was fun. And then definitely my mom, cause she like my entire life instilled in me that like humans are humans, like
for sure.
Don't be a piece of shit to people. And, yeah. I would say those are probably the two biggest. I mean, I didn't know a lot of other people.
Right. I mean, that's okay. Like, just, you know, like, it's just nice to know that there are
My kindergarten teacher, Miss Sieber, was always really, like, open and, like, kind to, like, everybody. She treated everybody like they were made out of gold. Like it was,
that's great.
And yeah, like I remember because we were Jehovah's Witnesses, so we like couldn't celebrate holidays, we didn't do birthdays, we didn't do nothing. And like every freaking time somebody'd have like a birthday or like a holiday party at the school, Mrs. Sieber would like bring me a cupcake that was like the least Christmas decorated or like could mean something else. And she'd always whisper, she'd be like, "This is not for Christmas. This is because I'm your friend." And would like, because I couldn't take part in any of that being raised a Jehovah's Witness. So she would always
just find
like a find a way to like incorporate me into every party without making me feel like I was like disrespecting my my faith. But yeah, like, but she was always like super, like just super over the top beautiful to everybody.
Well, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Like, I think that it's nice to always look for a way to make everyone feel included. So that's really good that she did that.
Yeah.
So what were some of the bigger instances in your childhood that you just remember, you know, being like racially charged or just like one of the first memories that you had that kind of made you think like, oh shit, like race is an issue. Like race is a thing. Because I feel like I didn't really ever think about it too hardcore.
I didn't either.
Until, you know, somebody really like pointed it out to me. So I'm going to say my biggest memory was, I was actually in pre-K. So like really young. Or maybe even kindergarten, but I want to say it was pre-K. Very, very young. But I still remember this to this day. Some teacher that wasn't my teacher at the time, but she was a teacher at the school that I was at. And I just remember her, like, distinctively telling me that white people were to just not be trusted. And that we just needed to you know, try to stay around people of our own kind, because that's how, you know, we know that we'll be safe. And yeah. I just kind of like thought about that so hard. Like, I was so confused by it, because I was kind of like, what do you mean? Like, I've had white teachers and they were nice. I've known white people that were nice. And even though I was super young at the time, it was kind of confusing to me. But now that I look back on it, I kind of think like, yeah, like I don't even know why she would have said that to me.
Well, I think it could have been maybe she had a bad, something bad had happened to her. Like maybe she had a bad, what's the word I'm looking for?
Experience or something?
Maybe she had like bad experiences with white people. Maybe her experience with white people wasn't so great. So that's where she was coming from personally.
But then I also had, trigger warning, it's about to get violent, but I used to get, you know, pretty bad, like, little beatings in elementary school just for being, like, too white.
Yeah.
Like, they would make fun of me and call me names and make fun of how I talk because I'm just too proper and all those things.
Yeah.
And they would not be very nice to me. And there were some times that it would get pretty ugly. And there were times that I did stand up for myself. I think a lot of my trauma and things that affect me now when it comes to like the things that have scarred me have come from those experiences of just being so hated for who I was, that really put a stopper in me. But at the same time, I had such good experiences of feeling really accepted by people of the white community.
Yeah.
Because they always appreciated that I was proper and that I was very nice and that I had, you know, similar interests as their children. And I was, you know, very polite, and it wasn't an issue. Like, not saying that black kids are not those things, but saying that I had relatively been shunned by so many people that I thought that were my friends when I was a kid.
Yeah.
That when I met people that didn't know me, they thought that I was just fantastic, and I just didn't understand like why people I knew just didn't think that of me, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of thing. And so that was really like my first time of really like just kind of like feeling like a slight confusion by all of that. Just a confusion by race in general. Like, what is it about black people? What is it about white people? Why are we not more cohesive? Like, I always used to think that a lot when I was younger, because when it was time for me to go to high school, I had to fight really hard to go to a high school that was across town, and it did have more predominantly white people. My mom wanted me to go to a more predominantly black high school, and I refused because I told her just how much I knew I wouldn't fit in. And I didn't want to be exposed to that kind of like environment that I have been exposed to before, where I knew I just wasn't going to be accepted.
Yeah.
And so, not to say that not there wouldn't have been people to accept me, but I just knew that would have been harder.
Yeah.
And so, that was kind of on the brim of my experience. And what about you? Did you have any moments from your childhood that just kind of stick out to you?
Not early childhood. I mean, there was always like the little comments that I remembered hearing as a child, but like that was always just like verbal, like kind of side comment, tongue in cheek bullshit.
Right.
But it wasn't until like high school that I really started seeing that, like, man, like race, like it is like an issue with some people. Like, it's there really are white people that hate black people, and that was kind of a shock. Even though, yeah, that was a huge shock. I think it was my junior year. I had just moved to the town that I graduated from, like halfway through my junior year, and like in the first week, I don't remember what spurred the conversation, but our history, like our American history teacher, I'm sure we were talking about something to do with like civil rights or like something like that.
Yeah.
But my history teacher asked, like, he did like a class poll, like, what are your views on interracial marriage and people having children with people of different races? And I remember some of the things that my classmates said were just fucking vile, like a huge shock. Like, I didn't know people actually thought like that. Like, so just some terrible things.
That is awful.
And that was probably the moment that it like actually hit me. Like, this is a real fucking thing. Like, mm-hmm. Racism isn't just something you see, you know, for a couple weeks in February, like, because the school's talking about like Rosa Parks, like right. It's a thing that's not, it's not a thing of the past. Like, it's a thing that's happening right now, like in the culture that I'm living in. And I just remember that being kind of sickening. Like, it kind of made me a little bit sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it is very saddening to me, truly. Like, as a person of color, I feel awful knowing that there are people that look at me and think of that I am less than.
Oh, yeah.
Just because of the color of my skin. But I mean, what can I do about that, you know? Gotta go along, gotta mm-hmm. move forward. Did you learn, like, speaking of school, I mean, what did you feel like you learned in school, like, about Black history, if you did at all? And do you feel like that was even enough? Was it accurate? Like, I mean, what did you even learn?
No, I don't think it was enough at all. Like, it was barely anything. It was literally, like I said, like, you would learn about some small things. Like, they would basically, in February, they just skim through, like, slavery and they'd skim through, like, some social, like, or, like, civil rights issues. But, like, it always felt very, like, skimmed through, like, they were only teaching it because it was required criteria and, I don't know, just that they didn't want to be uncomfortable for too long. So
you just don't feel like you don't.
It was whitewashed. There was always a lot of, just like in the, like, whenever teachers used to, and I'm sure it's the same way today, but like talking about like the indigenous peoples of this country, like the pilgrims are always set up to be these like white saviors. Like, and it's, mm-hmm. I think that's bullshit. Like, and I didn't realize that when I was a child, that I was being taught the white version of Black history. And until I got older, I didn't realize any of that was going on. But yeah, I would say I learned almost nothing from my school about Black culture and civil rights and diversity as a child. I learned nothing.
That's sad.
Yeah.
I don't know how they get away with just not being able to tell us the things that,
well, it's an all, it was an all, it was a all white area.
I understand. I mean, I would say for me, you know, it definitely was touched on. I do feel like I did get a lot of information when I was a kid. But school was, you know, it was definitely not a lot. It was very much just a little bit of Martin Luther King, a little bit of Rosa Parks, a little bit of like the basic stuff, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then that was pretty much it. It uh-huh. didn't really go too far into like slavery or the, like, the history of all of that, and just kind of like the colonization of America. Like, even in U.S. history, I feel like we talked a teeny bit about, like, basically the whitewashed version of Thanksgiving and, like, what that was. Yeah. And that's pretty much, like, the most information that we got.
Hands down, the most fucked up, like, school lessons I, as an adult, look back and remember were the colonization of America.
Yeah.
Like, it was so, everybody's getting along and having dinner. They didn't talk anything about the genocide and
yeah,
the,
Yeah, it was spread not as easy as it seemed in the books.
It seemed like a fucking family get-together. Like, let's go pop to the new neighbors.
Which is why we no longer, like, celebrate, like, Thanksgiving, quote-unquote.
It's such a bullshit holiday.
I like to call it now Turkey Day. I like to just say that it is Turkey Day, and we are celebrating, like, the day as a family and being thankful. But I don't call it the Thanksgiving because of the traditional... the traditional meaning of Thanksgiving and what it really was. And that's just my personal opinion. I'm not telling anybody else to do that, but I'm saying do your research on historical events and the things that you celebrate and make sure that they really align with who you are and what you believe and not what you thought you were told.
Because there's nothing wrong with taking a day to be thankful, but at the same time, like, we should also remember, like, the bad things about certain holidays, and maybe we should, like, rather than it just being, you know, the Indians and the Pilgrims and a Thanksgiving dinner, maybe it should be a remembrance of, like, indigenous cultures.
Yeah, for and sure. Maybe, and just being thankful that of how far that we've come from the horrible sacrifices that were given and taken.
Yeah, and because we're not
those people were really
we're not out of that,
to,
but
you know, to happen that way. But what about your family? Did you learn anything of value from your family at least?
I would say I learned far more from my family than I did from school, for sure.
Like, they told you more about racial history? Well, because
my mom was always, like, I remember her telling stories about, like, Rosa Parks and Harriet Tubman and Martin Luther King Jr. Like, and she was probably telling it from the viewpoint that she was told as a child,
right? But,
like, she would always go out of her way to, like, talk about different cultures with us, mm-hmm. which I thought was really cool. Like, I knew what Kwanzaa was as a kid, like, as a tiny little white child. We were in, like, we couldn't really celebrate it because Jehovah's Witnesses and all that stuff, but we definitely... My mom would definitely set us down and, like, tell us what the things meant and would tell us about Black culture and all of that
at
stuff.
At least so, to like, the ability was... of what she could.
So, yes, yes.
So at least you were getting some kind
she
of
tried.
Yeah.
She tried with what she knew.
Yeah. So you're getting something.
Yeah.
At least.
The love was there. That's something she instilled in me, was, like, the openness and the love, like, for sure.
Well, that's good. I mean, obviously she did well because you were not a product of hatefulness at all. I mean, you're by far, I think, from all the things I know about you, you turned out to be quite remarkably one of the most, like, uninfluential people of time.
Or what do you mean?
Like you as a person doesn't really...
Peer pressure doesn't work on me.
Well, yeah, I'm saying, like, you as a person doesn't really translate with any of the shit you've been through. Or any of the stuff that you've, like, that has gone on in your life. Like, more people, I feel like, have a harder time shaking the things.
Well, I always, when I saw, like, the negatives of my elders as a child, rather than trying to justify why they were doing it and adopting it as my own, I would always... I don't know. It was easy for me to look at those things and say, that's how I'm not going to be.
Right. Just taking from the lesson and learning what not to do.
Because it's so easy to, like, just get caught up. I could see it being easy getting caught up and just going along with the bullshit of our ancestors and elders, because we look up to those people. So we see them doing something negative, and, like, a lot of people would just... Rather than seeing it as negative, well, you would be like, well, why do they believe that? Like, I should probably believe that too. Like, and
right.
I never, that was never my internal experience with dealing with bad information given by people that should be good influences.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, for the most part, you know, at least you were given some...
I mean, they still fucked me up in other ways.
Yeah. I mean, hey, you did the best you could. So... for me, I think that I learned a lot from my family, you know, not too much. I don't think that, like, there was ever a time that we sat down and really learned a lot of information history-wise about our family. But, you know, I would definitely talk to my grandma about what it was like for her growing up and her lifeline, timeline of life. And she would tell me all the time about how it was. I mean, my grandma being like from literally, I think she was born in like 1919.
That's exactly right.
So she was definitely alive through some parts of early ends of slavery, and then through, you know, civil rights and the whole segregation movement, and I mean, even up to the early 2000s and being able to see like Obama be president. Like, that's an extremely long timeline for somebody to see. And so my grandma always did have a lot of information to share with me and did tell me a lot of things. You know, she used to tell me how much easier it would be for me to like date someone of my own race if that's, you know, if she had to choose, because she just knows that it would be a lot easier for me in these times because she saw a lot of shit.
She saw a lot of stuff.
She saw a lot of shit. And you know, at the time I didn't really understand that, but she would tell me so much about her history and like her family, like being like from Texas, and they used to do like cotton picking and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then just her becoming older and kind of like evolving through time, like becoming a wife and having kids like in the 20s and 30s and 40s and 50s, because she has 10 kids.
Oh yeah.
And literally the entire change that it evolved through that time, and how different it was back then, like how she didn't drive and, you know, all those things. And I really learned a lot from her, and understanding like what our people, like our family used to be like.
Yeah.
Just that, you know, there wasn't a lot of choice for women. There wasn't a lot of opportunities and a lot of things that you could do on your own. Mm-hmm. It was really just keep your head down and survive. Yeah. So I learned a lot from that. But in my childhood, my mom told me, I mean, we talked a little bit about Kwanzaa. We never really celebrated it, but mm-hmm. we did talk about it a little bit. And my mom would always tell me a little bit about what she knew about, you know, her family timeline. You know, we have some people that are like Native Americans in our family. We have some that are like from Africa, Nigeria, that kind of thing. So we did have a lot of conversations about like our family lifeline and what that was like. Yeah. So.
And your grandma, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well,
I was going to say your grandma is like hands down one of the spunkiest like people I've ever met. Like out of all the girls I've dated, like your grandma was the only person to ever pull me aside and be like, what are your, like, you were going to the bathroom. It was the first time I ever met the lady. You got up to go to the bathroom and she was like, okay, now that she's out of here, I got some questions for you, Mr. Chance. And, like, she gave me the whole, like, what are your intentions with my granddaughter? Like, you better be lucky that you live now, because this wouldn't have happened when I was your age. Like, just gave me the whole nine yards. Like, you better not get her pregnant. You better take care of her. I'll support this relationship, but don't do anything to fuck it up. Like, basically, she was, oh, man.
I miss my grandma.
Such an intimidating, but, like, vibrant and, like, just beautiful person.
Yeah, it's pretty funny.
She was like Grandmother Willow. Like,
yeah. Like, I had so many great memories of, like, growing up and having, like, those big family gatherings at my grandma's house and everybody coming over with food and stuff. Like, that was such a funny time in my childhood, so... It's nice to reminisce a little bit about my grandma.
Yeah, it is. She was a very cool lady.
So?
And lived to be like 97. Man, she was spry right up till the end. Let's see. We've kind of already went over 7. So, I don't think we really need to talk
about it. Yeah, that's fine. So, like, we were talking a little bit about earlier. Like, so, yeah, like, with our differences, you know? What has marriage been like? Like, what is it taught you? What have you learned? What are some of the things that I think maybe you didn't expect, or that has happened? All the things. We just want to talk a little bit about briefly what it's like as an interracial couple, what it's like, or what it has been like too, just to come into it. I mean, it's been a journey.
It really opened my eyes to how ignorant some people still are.
Yeah.
Because I never really saw anything firsthand until I married you. And then I start seeing like situations where I know I would have been treated differently than you were treated in that exact situation, or it actively happening, me being treated differently than you. Cause we were like the Walmart situation, like you being accused of, or your mom being accused of being a kidnapper. Like I was off looking at the socks, and Shay was in the dressing room, and Shay's mom was standing by the cart just watching Briarlyn, and one of the Walmart employees walked up to her and was like, "Whose baby is this?" And luckily I was walking up at the time and like heard it, and I was like, "That's my daughter." And your mom chimed in immediately and was like, "And she's my granddaughter." And the lady, like, she felt bad immediately. Like, it's like she realized she had fucked up. But yeah. For your mind to even, like, I don't know. There's biases that people still have that are incredibly unfortunate. And I didn't really witness any of that firsthand until I married you and started seeing situations happen, and then it like it clicked. It's like, well, shit, like shit.
Well, shit.
Like, god damn, this is like, this is really fucking going on. Like,
shit is right. But yeah, I mean, what it taught me was, yeah, I felt like in some cases, yeah, I did use you like as a comfort shield in a way. Sometimes, like, I would feel more comfortable going places with you than without you.
You got accused of being the nanny one time. We were doing some sort of church thing.
Yeah, that's what's going to happen when you have kids interracially, is that people tend to just apparently think that, you know, children are not going to come out every color in every shade.
Just the weird
comments
people
make. And it just doesn't make any
sense
to me. But yeah, you know, I I have been accused of being the nanny. I've been accused of literally not being her mother.
Then again, I've been accused
many times
of,
before.
I've been accused of, and like literally had people say when they found out I was married to a black woman. I mean, I've had people straight up say, "Dude, I thought you were a white supremacist," like, because I'm all tattooed and bearded, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know where that comes from, but I've had people say that so many friggin' times. Yeah. Like, you look like a straight up white supremacist, and here you are married to a black woman, and be like, "What the fuck makes you think I'm a white supremacist?" Like, because I'm white?
Weird sometimes, you know? Like, there has been times that, like, so, of course, like, our families are a little bit different. We have completely different family dynamics. Like, I'm a lot closer with my family as far as, like, I speak to my mom and some family members, like, fairly often. And you don't really talk to your family much at all. And when you do, you know, it's here and there. But
I mean, my family
are
close,
like,
but it's not
close.
Like, we're not like, your family is definitely...
Well, I'm saying my family's more involved in our lives.
Definitely, yes.
Like, 100%. That's the big thing that we've noticed, is like, my family is a lot more involved in our lives. Like, if we ever needed something, we would ask my family, not yours.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah. I will say, since my mom passed away, that my family has been... I think we've gotten closer. I feel like it's gotten a little closer.
You definitely do talk to your brother a lot more often.
Yeah, and even my Aunt Joyce, I talk to my Aunt Joyce regularly, and like my Aunt Kathy. Like, since my mom passed away, it's kind of, we're closer than we used to be.
Yeah, getting better. So
yeah,
you all are being in touch, but
a lot
for the most part, our families are
pretty different.
A lot different. Like, before your mom passed, we used to go to your family's house for, like, holidays and, like, Thanksgivings and Christmases and things. But we don't really do that with my family.
No, we
very
don't.
Very often.
No, and when we lived in Tulsa and we would do anything, everybody would come to our house. Typically.
Yeah, it would just kind of be a very small, like, gathering.
Just a little, like, your aunt and cousins. And
yeah, so it wasn't a lot. But, like, our dynamic is a little different, you know. I think that it was a big thing, like, when your mom passed, and just having that whole experience.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Now knowing that, like, one day my mom will pass, and I'm not sure how I will feel, how I will handle that.
That's gonna be a hard one.
It's gonna be hard for me to handle.
Yeah, for sure. I think it'll be hard for everybody, because your mom is like kind of a huge part of our life as a family.
Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, she definitely helps our dynamic work. Like, when I have to do stuff for work, or like if you have to work or whatever, like anytime something big has happened in our lives, my mom has always been a big part of stepping up to help us get through it.
Every time, your mom is always there. We may not have always seen eye to eye in every situation, but I can say,
well, I mean, you guys have always been friendly. It's normal. Yeah. It's normal to get annoyed by your
But what I'm saying is, your mom has like been a huge blessing in our marriage and in our family life, like,
yeah,
with everything.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's been kind of that's been a big thing, because I wasn't always close with your mom. Like, whenever your parents and when we all first kind of came together as a family,
honestly,
like,
weird
that was
there
a very,
for a little bit.
That was a very interesting adjustment, because I felt like at times your mom kind of treated me like shit. I think she was
jealous
she was because you were her first baby boy, and I think that, you know, you getting married and getting serious with someone, like, you had never brought anyone to meet her really, and like, she knew it was real, so it was probably
a little uncomfortable. There was some stuff with like Briarlyn, like, because we were real picky when she was little.
Things kind of got out of hand after Briarlyn was born. I think that took it over the edge. Like, your mom was already a little uncomfortable with you, like, being so wrapped up in a relationship that having a kid was like times 10.
Yeah.
Like, knowing that she wasn't going to have access to, like, constantly being
I don't even think it was that.
Well,
she
wanted to see us, and she wanted us to make time, but we were living in a completely different place and like 30 minutes away, so it wasn't always easy.
Yeah.
And so I think that we just, because we weren't able to always include them, it just was it was a sore spot.
Yeah, for a little bit.
Yeah.
But it did the situation did
it
resolve.
It
resolved, yeah.
It had to come with time.
Everybody
and, like,
warmed up with everybody, and it was fine. Like, it was just it took a big adjustment from basically with me being like the single bachelor son that was always there to like, bam, you got a family. Like, mm-hmm. But it was once everybody settled in, it was good. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's been really interesting. Like, I've had a lot of experiences where I felt like I got a scold from friends or people of color because I was married to someone that was white.
Yeah.
And like, they would basically say like, oh, so you don't like your own race, or, you know, like, just kind of making me like feel like shit or something.
It's a shitty question, or it's a shitty statement.
It is, but I'm just saying, like, this is life. Like, there are so many things that you encounter, like, when it comes to relationships, and like, here's really what blows me away is like, even when I knew that you were like such a great guy, and we had such a good connection, and our relationship has always been really solid. Like, I never had an issue with the fact that like that it was an interracial relationship, but I knew that there'd be people who might.
Yeah.
And I mean, I did have some family members ask me, like, not like, I don't think maliciously or anything, but I mean, I did have some family members, like older, that would, you know, do the little sly, like, oh, so, you know, like, what exactly, where did you meet him, and what do you guys have in common, like, how long have you known him, like, just making it seem like
you're not sure,
like, if this is the right idea, or how long have you even known this person, because some people get a little weird about us getting married after.
You're not the only person in your family that's married to a white person either, so
no.
It shouldn't have been.
I know, but there's always the question.
Yeah.
There's always the question. So it just kind of floats around. But I don't think that was ever too much of an issue. Like, family-wise, it was
never... It never felt like it was. Your family's always been really open to me.
Yeah, it was never too much of an issue. It was more of just like a question of like...
Everybody's got their questions.
You know, why are you going this route? Are you sure this is what you want to do? And my mom has always been pretty supportive. My mom, personally, has always kind of just been like, you know, I'm just happy that you have somebody who treats you nicely and who doesn't make you feel bad.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, that's the most important, is that you're with someone who is a nice person and who makes you feel good and takes care of you and is a good partner. So
yeah,
that's all my mom ever cared about.
Yeah.
It's never been a problem.
Yeah, no, I think your family's always been really open and loving to me.
And your family's been pretty great too.
Really, yeah, totally.
From when I met them, like, sure.
My mom
did
love you very much.
Sure, like, I know that, like, your family at first was probably a little bit skeptical, a little bit nervous when we first got together.
Well,
not because I was black, but
it was
because,
the age difference.
I was young and,
the age difference. My mom told me straight up, like, I think Shay's too young.
Yeah.
To be dating you, or you're too old to be dating Shay. And I was like, well,
too bad, because I'm legal.
Time will tell. And here we are.
Yeah. And here we are. We're
but
still
like,
there.
Yeah, my mom loved you.
Like, yeah, like, it was all
towards
good.
The end of her life, you guys were really close. Like, that was...
Yeah, it was all good. It just took some time to, you know, get it all going. And now that it's, you know, been so many years, your family is really comfortable to me, you know, like, any time that we go and visit
for
them,
sure,
like,
yeah.
They're all really nice and... we all get along and it's really comfortable. Like, definitely I would, you know, consider them part of my family as well. So it has been a very interesting growing adjustment. And so on that note.
Yeah, we're right in the right spot for the next question. What has having an interracial daughter like brought into our lives? Like, what are some things that maybe we want to do as parents to make sure that we give her as racially diverse and racially educated childhood as we can? I think that's that's one of the big things for me, because I want my daughter to know like all of her black history, like, and all of her like her white history. Like, I want her to be educated about all of her heritage.
Right.
Especially her black, because
that's
gonna be a big part of her life.
That's something that we both discussed, that we wanted to get like a dive into our ancestry so we can really share those notes of like what makes us all together as a family, and being able to look into that, because I grew up not knowing much. So just to be able to have that and incorporate that into special like events and ways that we raise our daughter is going to be awesome.
And it was early on in her life, like almost immediately after she started constructing sentences, that she put together that we were different colors. Like, I remember being like shocked when she was like, "Mom is brown like chocolate and you are white like milk. What am I?" Like, and I remember thinking, like, that is like a really fucking complex
thought. I'm just kidding.
For like a 3-year-old to be throwing out. Like, that was, was.
And, but, you know, it's normal, because like, they, you know, they kind of put that together, and we did explain to her that, you know, there are different people of different races from all over the world. And there's black people, there's white people, there's Asian people, and Indian people, and
she is really fascinated with other races,
with other cultures, so she once we explained to her that there were many different types of people, and that everyone is, you know, everyone is the exact same, they just are different cultures or different colors, that kind of made more sense to her. And so we kind of went through like a phase of like just telling, like explaining to her that like mama is brown and daddy is white and she is white and brown.
Yeah.
And so now she like understands that pretty clearly. And so it's, it was a time of like, just kind of trying to figure out how we would explain that to her. Because for a while she would say like, "No, I'm not brown. I'm just white."
She is fair complected.
She is fair complected. So she's not, she is definitely not on the darker side of the spectrum, but she for a while was in denial that she was black at all.
Yeah. And she was confused about it. Like, she had a lot of questions.
Right. And even I, like, as a mother, I had a time with where it kind of had to take a moment to settle in with me as well. Like, when she was first born, I went through a lot of sore spots about it. You know, I was always kind of wondering or asking myself, you know, if she would ever get darker or if she would ever look more like me. And that was like something I kind of had to
She definitely looks like you.
Well, yeah, I had to take some time to like just sit with it because like I was a new mom. I was going through a lot of like postpartum depression and just trying to be like, you know,
for sure
present and not lose my marbles. So
for sure. I mean, she definitely came out looking so much different than what my idea
of, we all had a lot of everybody thought that she would just be like dark with like curly red hair or something.
She did get the curly
like reddish hair, but she's definitely on the lighter side, and that's fine. Like, I love her either way. I don't care if she was brown, black, white, or yellow, but when she first came out, it was hard to handle because I did have those times where people were being so rude to me.
People ask so many
And just making me feel super uncomfortable, like old women following me around the grocery store trying to like confirm the identity of my child.
Yeah. Because
like she was just so uncomfortable. Like you can't imagine these kinds of things happening, but then like the audacity of people who actually do it is is a whole nother
level.
It's
weird. Like, it's weird the way people treat other people. I don't understand it. And you would tell me about your experiences having people
fall. I feel like that came out full fold, like when we had a kid. Like, we experienced maybe ugly looks here and there when it was just us. Like, when we were just a couple, sure. Like, here and there, we'd get people who stared or people who would make, like, little whisper comments or whatever. We didn't give a shit. We'd never, ever worried about just us as a couple. But then when you have a kid, it's like a whole nother level is involved. And then when we had a child, that's when the real racism really started showing its ugly head. Like, people
you really see it
really start saying shit about the fact that my daughter was lighter than me, or the fact that she, you know, looked more like her dad. And then that made me have anxiety about wanting to take her out, because I wouldn't want to take her out without you, because people would literally like stalk me around the store stole this baby.
Remember that old bitch in the shoe store that like just straight up walked up to us and was like, "That's a weird combination. Like, what the fuck does that even mean, like, lady? What are you talking about? Like, go fucking home, drink your vodka, and go to sleep. You're talking too much, Gladys.
It's like, it's just terrible, like, stupid that this happens, but I'm glad that it's been better.
Colorado, I think, has been better than Oklahoma in a lot of those ways.
No, yeah, it has. It has, because even when I went back on, like,
there's so many interracial couples here.
Yeah, like, when I went back on trips to visit my mom before she moved here, like, I would get back there and immediately have, like, a situation. Like, I took my mom to go get her car fixed, and the lady at the car shop was being, like, so unnecessarily rude to my mom, like, this white lady. And, like, she was just being so rude to my mom. And I was just like, none of this is necessary. Like, if you don't know what's wrong with the car, because I was asking the woman, I said, "Are you qualified to look at this car and tell us what's wrong with it?" And she's like, "No, but we can just do this and that should fix it." I said, "You can't tell me how to do something that you literally did not look at."
Yeah.
You cannot tell
me. She just told you she's not qualified to look at it.
Exactly. And you're trying to tell me to spend money on something that would not have fixed my problem.
Yeah.
And so that was such an irritating moment, because like, just the ignorance. But here in Colorado so far, I've only maybe had one or two incidents where I had like some uncomfortable energy or behavior. But other than that, most of my experiences have actually been really nice. A lot of people have been super welcoming and warming towards us. I mean, we even had like this random white woman pay for our food once at the grocery store.
Yeah, that was
like, we were like
$25
short or something, and this lady behind us, like, sweet, like, middle-aged white woman, like, offered to pay like the difference. And like, that was such a nice a nice moment.
There have been a lot more positive moments like that here. Like, I feel like the ignorance,
like,
is,
people
it,
showing
it
up,
doesn't run as
food
deep here.
And,
yeah,
and
man,
nice things for us. Yeah, like,
one of our yes, go ahead, I'll go, let no, you tell. Go. I broke my leg. We're like, I can't do much. Shay's basically doing everything right now. And we had one of our friends messaged me a couple days ago and was like, didn't even ask me. She was like, "I'm bringing you guys food next week. Like, do you have any dietary restrictions, and what day is good?" And, like, man, she brought, like, the best freaking lasagna. One of the best lasagnas I've ever had in my life.
Some good salad.
Big-ass salad. Some amazing cookies. Like, just people. There's so much more.
Such nice people.
We've experienced so much more warmth from the people here.
Yeah.
Than I think we did.
Yeah, for sure.
In Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Not to say Oklahoma people aren't cool.
No, because we have a ton of friends.
We do have a lot of.
We have a lot of friends back home that we miss, like, a ton. Yes. But we're meeting, like.
We're talking about you, Sarah.
We're talking about strangers.
And Christian.
And Paul and Josh and all those other people that we love. But we're just talking about, like, in general, strangers. Like, the people that we've met, like, that we didn't know very well here have been very nice and very kind. A lot of times in Oklahoma, you meet people that are just, they are nice, but, it's just been a hit or miss, you know, a very hit or miss when it comes to that kind of thing. So,
yeah,
it's just been super interesting to think about kind of how our lives have evolved. I mean, I feel like now that we're this far in our relationship, we don't have very many moments of uncomfort.
Or we're just so used to it that we don't notice it anymore.
Well, I think that one of the things that's being here in Colorado has made it a lot more comfortable because it is such a large military town. Like, that's one of the things you don't notice or that you think about is that Oklahoma is wide span. It's still a little segregated. You don't see a ton of interracial couples in Oklahoma, so that's why
Tulsa itself.
That's what we're trying to say. We're not saying Oklahoma is like closed minded. It's awful. You just don't see it, you guys. You don't see it, and it's not a big thing.
Well, you talking
unless
about
you're in like Oklahoma City. That's where you see
yes.
a bigger population of mixed families. Here in Colorado, since it is a big military base, you see
about
a lot
the
of
military plan into that because they're literally. Just the military presence itself is extremely diverse.
Yeah, it's huge. You see a lot of mixed families, a lot of families from all over the place. So here, it's really a lot more common to see a mixed family, which is why it's been a lot more comfortable for us in that way.
Yeah.
But overall, you know, our relationship hasn't had too many perils. Like, we've always...
No.
Like, you and me in general have never had, like, any large... problems that have come up, but we've always, like, no matter what, even if somebody has something negative to say, it was never an issue.
No, we're a good team. We stick together.
Yeah, for sure.
We're good.
And so our last question kind of comes into, like, what Black topics today do you feel are things that we still need to address? Like, how is our diversity and how could we be better? What do you think?
I think we could be better in every way possible. Like, it's sure we've grown since like the beginning of the civil rights era and like slavery, and we have gotten better since then, but like we're nowhere near close to where we need to be as a society as far as like not just like unified and together, but like I think a big part of being together as a society is celebrating our differences. Like, it's not saying that you don't see race, because saying that you don't see race is just another form of ignorance. Like,
just being blind.
We need to like celebrate our differences. And,
absolutely, we need to just be.
And we
more
don't
open.
Really do that. We're trying to. I think we've taken a lot of big steps, but we're not there.
No. There's a lot more that needs to happen.
I don't know shit. I'm just a middle-aged white man. I don't know a goddamn thing.
Well, that's not true.
No, but I'm saying that's from my white perspective.
I'm saying don't discredit yourself. You are a person who has spoken up many times on my behalf and has been an advocate for, equal rights. So,
well, I mean, in my personal spiritual community, I'm a Norse pagan.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of white supremacy in Norse paganism. And that's been like a huge battle I've been trying to fight just in my own spirituality, is extinguishing racism from Norse paganism.
Absolutely, and that's a good thing. So like, you're doing your parts. Like, you're not just a completely
I will put somebody on
person.
Fucking blast, like, in a fucking heartbeat. I will put them on blast so fucking loud. If I even catch an inkling that you're even a little bit racist, fuck you and everybody you know. And I don't care whose feelings I hurt or who I piss off. Or I've had death threats. I've been called a race traitor. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, if you're going to be fucking stupid, I'm going to announce you to the entire world as fucking stupid. And that's just where I stand with it.
Yeah, I mean, and I appreciate that, because I think that it's important that people see that, you know, there are white people out here that support and believe and back, you know, Black lives. I think that right now with the big Black Lives Matters movement going on, and everybody that has been a part of that and been involved in it, what's so weird is, like, I mean, I'm literally from Tulsa, so, like, the race riot being right from my hometown, and then that being like blown up in the last like 2 years, and then kind of just all of the things that we've been seeing, you know, the police brutality and the divide that's been happening politically, racially, spiritually, emotionally.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been an extremely terrible time for a lot of us, and mm-hmm. what we need is to come together and be supportive, and just remember that everyone is exactly like you.
And if you're not going to be an ally, get the fuck out of the way. Like, that's my motto. Like,
yeah, I mean, like, if you are of hateful heart and you don't, you know,
yeah,
see eye to eye with people of color, then maybe what you need to do is start by looking within and finding what it is that is making you feel that you, don't have that in you, because
yeah.
I don't really know what else to say other than, I mean, we all like eggs, whether they're white or brown, and on the inside yeah. they're all the same.
Yeah.
And it's the same with humans too.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just an egg like you.
And to have a mind like that, that like is full of hate, and like you are against other cultures, this world is shrinking for you. Mm-hmm. Like, that your world is becoming so tiny that you're either just going to die out. Like, that mindset is just mm-hmm. going to completely die out, and you're going to die, or you're going to embrace, like,
there's no room for it.
There's no room for it whatsoever. There's no room for
a small mindset. And no. It always brings me back to this. I want to end it with this. We all know that there is improvements to make, but love your neighbors, love yourself, love anyone that is good to you, because you never know when you'll need them. And this is just a thought. It makes me think of a show, and I'm not going to say which one, because if you know, you know, but I'm not going to bring it up. The point is that if there was ever a time that you may have needed like urgent medical attention, or may needed something from someone else in a dire situation, are you really going to let the color of someone else's skin like stop you from survival
mm-hmm.
and being like a decent human? Like, that's not, I mean, like, if you were on a plane and your last resort was a Pakistani doctor saving your life in midair, are you really going to tell him no because you've got problems with a brown man? Like, come on, y'all. This is ridiculous. Like, these people are people.
Yeah.
Like, don't act stupid.
If you're bleeding to death, are you gonna stop and ask the fucking doctor, did this come out of a black man? Like,
no. You're gonna take that black organ and you're gonna live your life.
That blood is gonna work in your body no matter who it's from.
Exactly. Like, don't live your life full of ignorance. Like, remember that this American history is black history too. Black history is not just one month. It is a part of our culture, all of us.
Yeah.
We all need to get acquainted, and we all need to get it together and learn from our mistakes in the past. We
Black
are not
history.
Segregated. We are all of one united nation, and we need to act like it.
Black history is such a huge, huge chunk of American history. Like,
why it's American
in
history.
In every way.
My case is clue.
No, I agree with you 100%, but it does affect everybody. Like, everybody's history as an American
starts
is steeped
with
in black culture, yeah,
and what has happened
yes,
in the past
from the Native Americans to
and let's not be afraid to talk about that, y'all. Let's just embrace it. Our ancestors did some fucked up shit, and some of our ancestors didn't get good hands in it, but we can move on and we can be better people.
Yeah.
So, I mean, together. I hope that you all enjoyed this topic today on Monday. It's been extremely
a little heavier of a topic than
yeah,
we usually
it's
do
been
but
extremely
it's...
like interesting to kind of like think deep down in my brain about just like my past and mm-hmm. things that we've been through, but it's been extremely nice to pull these topics up for you all and share these. And I think with it being Black History Month, that it was a perfect time to have this conversation. And of course, we always want to hear from you all. Make sure that if you would like to share your opinion with us, that you join our communities on Instagram or Facebook. You can find us at Heathen in the Hedge Podcast. And we do have a link tree where you can find all of our links if you need help with that.
Absolutely. So, and you tag the, or you plug the social media so much more smoothly than I do.
Oh, no. No, you're great. But we all here at the Heathen and Hedge Podcast headquarters appreciate you all so much for being here.
Yeah, we couldn't really do any of this without the support. Kind words and the support of all of our crazy little heretics out there.
So thank you all so much for being here. Yeah, we love you so much.
Yeah, we love you so much. It's
been awesome.
This has been a fun ride.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's nowhere near over.
Nowhere near over. Buckle up, kids. We're just getting started.
Oh, yeah.
This has been Heathen and the Hedge. My name is Shay.
And my name is Merlin.
And we will catch you guys next time. Blessed be, y'all.
Love you guys.
Peace.